couple of tornadoes have just blown in.
Yes.
Good morning, Melanie Bracewell.
Some more punctual than others, I will add.
Yeah.
Right. I'm like one of those pungent little breezes that turns up on the wisp, like a wisp of the wind, and you get a little, and you think, where's that come from? Here I am.
I just thought of something else then, but I don't think I'll voice it because it's not very tasteful. Good morning to Raider, something else
Hello.
That can sneak out like that.
Yes.
Lovely more pork on your T-shirt today. Just
yes.
noticing.
Yeah, I got this beautiful T-shirt. Actually, at WOMAD, which was the last sort of, I call it the last sort of BC event, to 2020 BC, before COVID, purchased this. And that was the last arts festival I'm off to my next one tomorrow. So it's been that long between arts festivals, down to Tauranga for a festival. Great.
Beautiful. Isn't it good the stuff's happening again?
Yeah.
Now I feel like I need to comment on your fantastic
I feel like I'm just wearing a plain black shirt. Oh, you have a jacket.
Yeah, it's a jacket.
Yep. Cycle boutique, you know, secondhand. It's good.
You're like...
Get out of fast fashion, they say.
Melanie and her multicoloured jacket. Yeah. Who was that guy? Is there a lot of pockets in it? Did he have pockets?
Joseph.
Yeah.
Can't remember.
Was it a lot of pockets or many colours?
Technicolour dream coat. It was a dream coat. It had a lot of dreams on it, I think. That was it. Yeah.
Oh, so many dreams. Dreams will be crushed for people tomorrow, I'm sure. We won't dwell on that. Actually, look, this is something that I picked up during the week, and I thought, why can't someone do this here? There's a website they're offering that they say we're transforming an age-old idiom into a bookable experience. So if you were in the States and you were over the election, who isn't?
Yeah.
You can literally book a man-made hole under a rock for $5 a night and go and live there for a week right prior to the election.
Isn't that where Trump was hiding prior to the election as well? Like, went down into his own bunker?
Yeah. Actually, I think he did go into a bunker. Yeah, you would be ready for that, Catherine. Are you going to crawl into a rock for the weekend until Monday and emerge?
I'm going to crawl onto a sofa.
Yeah.
And I won't be dressed as fleshly as you two.
Oh, yeah. we just got excited to see you in person for the first time.
Lovely.
So I felt like I should dress up
isn't it?
Usually I'm here to sort of rolled out of bed in my pyjamas.
Yeah,
so
she's
this
done
is
her
nice.
Hair. Yeah, super good. So look, if anyone does in the next 24 hours, you know, have a rock or a barn or some kind of area without Wi-Fi, we could crawl into
this. You're old enough to remember Pet Rocks.
Pet Rocks?
Yeah.
A rock with a face on it that you look after?
No, seriously, sold them and made millions. Just sold them in a box and it was a rock and it was a pet.
Yeah, super great. Well, actually...
I remember we had to look after eggs at school and then I was like eight or something. My mum was like, wouldn't it be funny if you bring in a chick? And we bought a chick and brought in a hatched chick to school to be like, oh, I looked after it so well. But then
imagine if it was like because it is funny, you look like a little crocodile or a reptile or some kind. Because those little rocks are still around, but now you place them in places and people then collect them and then they go and put them somewhere else. I was just in Picton and a woman who runs the little train, the tiny train, 20 cents a ride, I think it is.
Wow.
I said to her, what can you get for 20 cents these days? She said, a ride on our train. I'll take two. She gave me a little rock, and she's got a little, you know, Facebook page, and I'm going to bring the rock up here, and I'm going to put it in a little park in Henderson somewhere, and then someone else will pick it up, and we'll put it on the Facebook. So a little bit of...
They're kind of like gnome rocks now, aren't
like
they?
Like gnome rocks. Yeah. Yeah, you can't live under them unless you collected an enormous amount, thus depriving... other children of the privilege.
What they charge to live under a rock? It's probably nine times the median income by now.
It's $5 a night.
Oh, okay.
They said it's Abraham Lincoln inspired. You see, what do they call a $5 bill in the States? A Lincoln?
Yeah. It was quite good because it's a lot of hotels or accommodation. You want to go, oh, I want the Wi-Fi. This one, you're like, I do not want to look at the internet.
No.
I'll get away from it.
In fact, those hotels that do have intermittent internet, this would be a great weekend, a great period of time for them to actually use that as a competitive advantage.
Every time you try to log on, we'll put you back on the straight and narrow.
Yeah,
for sure.
What's making you giggle?
Oh, I have been loving this story about a supermarket worker in Blenheim that has been stealing $350 worth of groceries every week for 2 years. And it just made me kind of jealous because I never even got... When I was having jobs, you know, growing up, I worked at Weight Watchers. So there wasn't really much you could steal from there. You'd have to steal like an oaty muesli bar
biscuit.
That was 2 points. And it was just, a lot of the time, they would give it to you, but that was because it was expired. And so I never had that opportunity. I really wanted to work at the supermarket because I always thought, for some reason in the back of my head, you would get free food. Alas, no, you have to just steal it.
No frozen food, though, because he was putting them in he was turning up early and then filling a sort of a rubbish bag and then putting it by the door every day. And what amazes me, so he got all great crimes. There's always a flaw in his plan.
Yeah.
He turned up slightly early to turn off the alarm. The security people saw it. From the comfort of their home, this is the world we live in, looked on the little computer and went, that doesn't seem to be normal supermarket behaviour.
they went in and they got him. And then, for some reason, he then confessed to having done this for two years instead of just going, oh, it was an impulse thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's very silly. But that's the thing, is that it probably inspires people to now steal from their workplace, that they know that they can get away with it. So I feel like you should make sure you count the headphones before we leave.
I think you're about a month ahead of the fall of society with this advice, Mel. Like, the American election has not yet happened. Society as we know it continues. Yeah, there are arts festivals, for goodness sake, going on.
Let's start a ruckus.
I think I've figured out what's gone wrong this year. And this was a couple of years ago. This kid is now 15, but he's just got into the Guinness Book of Records for being the youngest child ever, or youngest person, I say, ever, to build a nuclear fusion reactor in his bedroom.
Nothing to worry about here.
What could possibly go wrong? 2020. So he did this about 18 months ago, you know, and since then a cascade of events has happened.
That's the thing. I always thought that parents were getting overprotective, you know, wrap your kids in bubble wrap. But these parents are like, how's your nuclear reactor going, son?
Wait, there's a strange glow coming from your room. And what makes this? I thought, okay, this is a one-off, like a savant. But the open source Fuser Research Consortium and fusion researcher Richard Hull, they maintain a list. This is the most disturbing sentence of the year, of amateur scientists who successfully create their own homemade fusion reactors.
Where is the list of the ones who are unsuccessful and have created something
else? Just suburbs that disappear. is this, someone will know, is this safe to use electricity to accelerate a couple of atoms of deuterium? I don't even know. Is that an off-the-shelf component?
Don't text in telling us you've got one in your bedroom. Please. It's too much to deal with.
There's a lot, because also these kids now can get, you know, the little, what's it called, the things where you can alter the DNA of things.
You can basically do sort of genetic engineering.
CRISPR. You know, Catherine. So what if
I could change a few bits, I could nip and tuck a few bits.
Also, what if he's sharing a bedroom with his sister and she's into CRISPR and he's into nuclear fusion and something occurs?
Oh, wow.
And there's a...
I worry a lot.
2021, looking forward to it.
Feel free
to underachieve, by the way, 2021. Feel free to be dull, unmemorable, something we will never go, where were you when? That'll be fine by me.
Yeah. Oh, man. I did want to share a story. I often get a lot of my news from Twitter, so this one has come from Twitter. This is a son's horror after their mum buried a cat, thinking it was their cat, but it was actually a rabbit. Essentially, what they had done is that this mum had panicked and been like, "Oh no, our poor cat has died, and we need to go bury it." They buried it, and then they later found out, saw their cat walk into the room, and were like, "Oh, here we are." And then they dug up the cat that they thought they had buried, and it was a rabbit.
Yeah, we were just doing cat with those apostrophe things you do with your fingers. What are they called?
Oh,
I'm doing it now. Nobody can see.
Apostrophe things you do with your fingers.
Catherine's looking at me.
Air quotes.
There's a reason that she's not in the studio with us, because the look that she just gave me was one of sort of
you pressed a button
sympathy
and they thought
and disdain.
I had sworn.
Yeah.
I was like, oh no, she's pressed the dump, everything she just said button. I was like, let's try to tell this story and going, what did
just
I swear?
I'm overstressed about the fact I'm here this week.
Anyway, I just need to know,
was the rabbit in need of being buried, please?
Yes, that was a dead rabbit.
I'm slightly worried about
that. But that is phenomenal that you would come across a dead rabbit and go, that's definitely our cat.
Look, how dead was the rabbit? Like, you know.
Is the cat alive and where is it?
The cat is alive. The cat walked into the room.
Yeah.
And they said...
And like a lot of grieving had occurred by this point. Tears, there had been a remembrance service,
like,
and obviously the internment. Yeah.
Fockers, I said, all right? Fockers.
But it turns out this is fairly common.
I'm pressing the button.
Push the button.
This, you know, in the sort of the Twitter stream after that, people said, this happened to me. Same thing happened. Pet is buried, go back inside, period of mourning, look up, and there is the cat at the window. Someone reported that they had buried their cat, and then all of a sudden they heard their mother swearing profusely in the garden at an animal that turned out to be the live cat that had not been buried.
I'm just worried about the animals being buried in lieu of the animal that's actually still alive. Like,
there's
a missing series of events to me here.
Well, the good one about
finding
this,
the animal actually dead.
Within the details, she dug, this is the original mother from the story, dug it up and took it to the vet, where they realised that it wasn't microchipped. Because it was a rabbit. Like, at what point can you not distinguish a rabbit from your cat?
Okay. We better finish on something slightly less creepy. Yeah. Go ahead, Mel. I trust you.
This one is about the Te Puke Fire Brigade that is frustrated by siren complaints. And I realised this recently. I didn't realise that they have, like, a big, massive siren that goes on
You're
in small
so
towns.
Urban.
I know. I am so urban. Because this happened to me. I was travelling. I was at Lake Tekapo, and this was in the South Island. There was fires around in the South Island, and we hear this apocalypse-sounding siren going outside. We get evacuated out of our hostel. I am just, like, brainless, like, don't know what I'm doing. I just walk out in my pyjamas, like, I didn't bring anything, freezing cold, standing, thinking that the end of the world is happening. But it's just the fire. It's a fire alarm. Yeah. And it was just a concrete grinder next door.
Yeah. And so shout out to all those volunteer firefighters. You know, we just urban people just assume that there are people on call all the time in the fire station. But, you know a lot of these people, and I see them all the time. Great people.
Legends.
So, Mel, did you get dressed, get your life together?
I had to just sort of stand there shivering, and everyone else was like, "You're an idiot." We all grabbed jumper. I was like, "I thought you're just supposed to leave. You don't grab anything."
It's an apocalypse.
You did the right thing.
Yeah.
You're aware. Mel, you did the right thing. Mel Bracewell-Tarada, thank you very, very much. Lovely to see you, and not in your PJs. thanks very much.